I'm a firm believer. One of the reasons CEO Global Network exists is I'm a firm believer in that every employee, that's why I'm so passionate about this, George, every employee has the right to a good leader.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is John Wilson. Here's three facts that I think you should know about John. One, he is a successful entrepreneur, business owner, and leader. He has a proven track record of building nine-figure businesses and is one of the world's preeminent CEO mentors. Two, he is founder and CEO of CEO Global Network and a mentor to hundreds of successful CEOs. And three, he is the author of the best-selling book, Great CEOs and How They Are Made, The Seven Imperatives. Oh, and here's a bonus point I think you should know about John. Here's a quote from entrepreneur and best-selling author Vern Harnish. Vern Harnish, you might know him as author of several books, one called Scaling Up, another one called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits. Here's what Vern Harnish says about John Wilson. There is not a more caring person on the planet when it comes to the success of a CEO. I consider John one of the top five CEO organization leaders in the world and the one with the biggest heart. John Wilson, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Oh, thank you, George. Thank you for those very kind words. I really appreciate that. And so thank you. And it's great to see you again.
Wonderful having you, John. And for those who have been longtime listeners and viewers of the podcast, you might remember that John Wilson was my first guest for this podcast series more than a year ago now. John, we're talking today because I believe there's a dilemma in the workplace, a dilemma when it comes to workplace engagement of employees. And it might be a hidden dilemma for a lot of leaders and CEOs. So let's dig in and reveal that. Why, first of all, why is it important to examine and the concept of how well your people are engaged? Why is that important to a business leader?
It's important for so many reasons, George. I mean, let's think about this. What's an engaged employee look like, right? An engaged person. Well, I mean, they lean into your business. You're getting their discretionary time, right? Like when they're driving back and forth to work, or when they're in the evening, They're thinking about how can we do a better job? How can we help build a better business? They're thinking about your business more than just 8 hours a day. What does that mean? What does that mean to business owners? What does it mean to other employees in the organization? What does it mean to, the families of the employees to have their employees engaged and enjoying what they're doing? I mean, you got to enjoy what you do. And when you enjoy what you do, when you enjoy the people that you work with, it just makes such a huge difference. One of the big questions that they ask in surveys about employee engagement is, do you have a best friend at work? It's the most important question in these surveys, because when people say, yes, I have a best friend at work, their engagement is much, much higher, right? And so it's important on so many dimensions. I mean, think just about, if you've got a team of engaged employees and your competitors don't, or they have a low level of engagement, you are going to serve your customer better. Isn't that the bottom line? You know, how well the customer is served. And, you know, the old saying is, happy employees, happy customers. It starts with employees, doesn't it? It starts with the people in the organization really enjoying what they're doing and being engaged, leaning in, being comfortable, making suggestions on how this can be a better place to work, how we can better serve our customers. You know, what about innovation, eh, George? How important is innovation today? Well, if people aren't engaged, are you going to get their ideas? No, you're not going to get. So, I mean, it's a competitive advantage, George, for anybody, any business owner, CEO, leader needs to really focus on this. I think it's one of the highest priorities. You talk about, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There's other pandemics, too. You know, we have COVID-19. We also have mental health. Like, mental health was at an all-time, mental challenges, right? Mental challenges, all-time high before COVID hit. Where do you think it is now? Well, it's grown exponentially. Challenges with mental health in the workplace has just skyrocketed. What about employee engagement? Well, there is a real problem there too, George, because, you know, if I ask you this question, George, where do you think employee engagement is in terms of percentage of employees, you know, where would you put, you know, the level of engagement? What percentage of employees do you feel are engaged at work? Just a, you know, an opinion.
Well, John, if I were guessing, I would guess that somewhere between 70 and 80% are engaged. And then you've got that other 20 or 30 who are not, I'm leaning on the 80-20 rule here.
Yeah, well, the 80-20 rule does apply here, George, but it applies in the total reverse to what you just expressed, okay? Worldwide, based on the professional surveys that are done, Gallup, et cetera, 20% of employees are engaged. 20% of employees are engaged. Worldwide. Now, North America, it's a higher number. Oh, we're doing so much better. It's 36% in North America. Whoa, we're doing so much better than the world, right? 36%. Let's think about that. Go back to the 80-20 rule. Worldwide, one out of every five employees are engaged. What does that mean to productivity of businesses, the economy, how happy people are with their life? How does that ripple into the families? How does that ripple into, you know, how customers get looked after? You know, we've all dealt with companies where the customer service is terrible. Well, that's probably coming from employees that are not engaged, right? Now, in North America, we say, well, you know, Canada, U.S., we're at 36%. So what does that mean? One out of every three are engaged, right? What about the 64% that aren't engaged? Like, what does that mean? And why is it? Why is it? Well, and that's my intended message today, George, is to talk about, I mean, you know, CL Global Network is a leadership organization. I mean, this is where CEOs and executives come to, you know, sharpen the saw, if you will, on becoming better leaders. Why is employee engagement so low? Bad leadership, bad bosses. You know, the old saying is, hey, people don't leave companies, they leave bosses. Well, there's a lot of people leaving companies. There's a lot of people staying at companies, you know, like, what if we train them and they leave? What if we don't and they stay? There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of companies out there, George, even in North America, where engagement is a real serious problem. And I really think it gets back to the leader of the company. It gets back to the owner of the business, the CEO, leaders throughout the organization. Where does engagement start to fall off in an organization? Well, surely the CEO is engaged. You know, come on. Certainly the owner is engaged. Well, don't count on it. I, as you said in the introduction, you know, I've worked with hundreds of CEOs and executives, and I ask them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your passion for this business? You know, how is your passion meter for this business? I've had CEOs say 5, 6 on a scale of 10. Like, how can you inspire people, you know? And if it's, so think about that, you know, there's leaders out there leading people who are not doing a good job. I'm a firm believer. One of the reasons CEO Global Network exists is I'm a firm believer in that every employee, that's why I'm so passionate about this, George, every employee has the right to a good leader. Every employee has a right to a good leader. And so, you know, a lot of leaders, they get to a certain point and they stop learning. They stop getting better. They've got to a place where, you know, they're comfortable. Well, what about the people reporting to you, right? So back to my previous question, George, where does it break down? You know, okay, let's assume we've got a leader with passion. Okay, so I'm passionate about what I do. So I'm leaning in. I am engaged. Boy, you better be engaged. You're the leader. I mean, people are looking at you, right? They want to see how you deal with these situations. So then you've got people that are on the senior leadership team. Are they all engaged? Well, that's a good question, is it? You know, if you've got 8 direct reports, 8 people on your team that you're leading and you're engaged, are all 8 of them really engaged? Chances are they're not. And chances are somebody's not. Hey, George?
And how does the leader in that case, so if you're the leader and you've got 8 direct reports, how do you, you know that you're engaged, but how do you know that your team, your direct reports are engaged? Do you ask them a question? Do you look for funny habits?
Yeah, you could ask them a question. You could have someone else ask them the question. You know, you could have a coach, you know, a mentor, someone else ask them the question. But hopefully you have a good enough relationship with them. And that's where it comes from, eh? This is all relationships, right? It's relationships at the top. And if they're not excellent there, George, how are they going to be excellent deeper in? And it depends on the size of the company. I mean, if we're talking about huge companies, It's very important. The bigger the company gets, the harder this gets, right? the lower the engagement, the bigger the company, most often, unless they've got highly enlightened leadership throughout the organization. Because all it takes is one person to not buy into this, for one person not to be engaged at that senior level, and it ripples throughout. And then when the surveys get done, we're at the 1 in 5, you know, 1 in 3 in North America. I mean, my goodness gracious. Let's put some numbers to that again. If you've got 1,000 employees, 360 of them are engaged. Oh my goodness gracious. 640 employees are not engaged, George. And that is a huge opportunity. You know, I mean, there are people, and I'm kind of one of them, every challenge, every problem is an opportunity. This is a huge opportunity for leaders in businesses. And one of the things I recommend, George, is that every leader find out what their level of engagement is at their organization. There are surveys out there that can be done. You can do it internally in your organization. You can ask the question. Got to be a third party though. Someone just got, because you want an honest answer. So you want a third party doing a survey, an employee survey, and there's all kinds of them out there. Great companies doing them. It's all very legitimate. And find out. I mean, I think the first thing for anybody that's listening, George, is oh wow, this is a good point. I wonder what my level of engagement is with the employees I have. Now let's take a smaller company. You got 100 employees. Chances are 36 of them are engaged. 64 of them are not. Wow. You know, wow. Yikes. Eh? Yikes. I want to get to some more specifics of what leaders can do to move the needle on engagement. There's a couple of real serious things that leaders, in my experience, you know, and I've worked with some great leaders. So in my experience, George, these are sort of two or three things that, you know, if this is something that is resonating with you and you say, hey, I got to do something about this, then boom. Because it all starts, as I said before, with the leader. It all starts with the person in the mirror. It starts with the person in the mirror. And so then you work your way on through, and you got to get alignment around this engagement piece. So, sorry, George, did you have a question?
Yeah, John, before, and I want to hear what those two or three recommendations are.
Yeah.
However, I'm wondering, what about the leader, the CEO, who mm-hmm. believes that, my people are engaged. I talk to them every week. If I ask them if I'm doing a good job, they say, oh, yeah, boss, you're the greatest boss in the world. I'm happy working for you. The messages that they get from their staff makes them believe that they're doing terrific. So what are the symptoms? How can we give them a wake-up call?
the CEO?
Yeah.
Well, here's the wake-up call. You're not hearing the truth, period. End of story. You are not hearing the truth. Oh, by the way, all your jokes are funny, you know, because you are the boss. All your jokes are funny. And more importantly, and more dangerously, all your ideas are good, right? All your suggestions, by the way, for the boss, all your suggestions, you know, you're sitting in a meeting, right? And there's stuff going around and you make a suggestion. Your suggestion is in order. Yeah, your suggestion is in order. You know, I think it should be blue. Yeah, it'll be blue. So that's the thing, George, and that is the challenge with being a CEO and a leader. Yeah, you've got people who you think are telling you the exact truth. Oh, I got Joe here, and Joe, you know, they're so candid with me. Yeah, they're candid with you, but they're pulling their punch. You know, like they are pulling their punch. CEO disease, eh? How do you hear the truth? How do you hear the truth? That's why it is so important to get a third party to check it. Get a third party to check the truth, you know, like be courageous. Okay. You know, you think it's great. We got great engagement. We have great engagement. Well, measure it. What gets measured gets done. Measure your engagement and find out that it's 36%. By the way, 36, we're talking averages here. There's companies with 10% engagement, right? We're talking averages here. So don't buy your own con. That's my recommendation to a CEO or a leader. Do not buy your own con that, oh, everything's fine here. I talk to everybody every day. I walk around. I walk through the plant. Everybody waves and says hi. Of course they do. They probably bring, yeah, of course they do. Your biggest challenge as a CEO is to find out the truth, and you got to dig for it. You got to dig. And you know, doing one of those surveys, independent survey is a step to a baseline. And then you want to do it on a regular basis. Say, George, this is a KPI. This is a key performance indicator for all of us. You know, hey, the engagement here is, wow, we just did the survey and it's, wow, we're 40%. That means, you know, 60 people here aren't engaged. Okay, let's move that up. And then every year. I know CEOs who are paid on that survey. It's part of their pay. Let's just say that. It's part of their compensation is how well they do in the blind survey. And that can be on, you know, with larger companies. That's done all over the world in different countries, different divisions. And leaders are evaluated. How engaged are the employees here based on a member survey? It's extremely important. But let's just think about that. There's not that much enlightenment in the world. 1 in 5 is engaged, right? And, 36 out of 100 in North America. So we got a long way to go. And did I answer your question on that, George?
You did, John. And let's move to what they can do. What can they do to fix it? So we've just taken the CEO, we've given a slap on the side of the head. They go, whoa, you're talking to me. I've got a problem. What can I do to fix it? What can they do to fix it?
What can you do to fix it? Yeah. Well, let's talk. There are three things. These are three big things, and these are no-brainers. Like, just do them. You don't have to think, don't think about it too long. Don't think about it too long. Just do it. And the first one I'm going to mention is one that some of the people that are watching, listening, their eyes are going to go, they're going to glaze over. Don't let your eyes glaze over right now, please. But the number one way, and oh, by the way, remember what I said, George, that it's all about the person in the mirror, right? So it is about you, right? When I look in the mirror, it's about me. I want to move the needle in terms of engagement at our company. It's about me and what I can do about that. And so here it is. The number one thing is get more emotionally intelligent. Oh, what does that mean? What does that mean? Emotionally intelligence. I've heard about that. What does that mean? Well, let's define emotional intelligence first, okay? And this is how the experts define emotional intelligence. It is how we manage and understand our emotions. It's our ability to understand what makes us tick emotionally and then manage that. Like, it's not, well, I understand I'm a loose cannon. I have low impulse control and I'm just a loose cannon. I'm a shiny object person. So every time I get an idea, I'm going to tell my management team to go and look at this. No, maybe you want to just pull that back a little bit, right? Yeah, but I'm an open book and I speak my mind, right? And if I think someone, you know, is a jerk, I'm just going to tell them. Oh, really? Well, you might want to just pull that in. So it's not just understanding your emotions, it's managing. Like, as Warren Buffett said, you can always tell somebody they're an idiot tomorrow, or to go to hell. He didn't say an idiot. You can always tell someone to go to hell tomorrow, right? Like, sleep on it. And Warren says it's one of the best pieces of advice he ever had in his life, is it? Because it's about, don't, you know, it's that space between what you're thinking and what you say, right? Like, just hold on to that. So I use that just as an example, one example of emotional intelligence. There's 15 emotional intelligence skills. So think about this as a leader. If we can get 10% better, just 10% better in terms of our emotional intelligence, which, by the way, at any age we can. Your IQ is not going to go up, most likely once you're an adult. But your emotional intelligence can go up, you know, at any age. I mean, I'm still working on it, right? And I'm moving the needle and a little bit. You got to be highly motivated. But what I'm saying here, George, is to get a higher level of employee engagement, working on our own emotional intelligence and getting better at that. By the way, 5 times more important than IQ and technical skill for a CEO or a leader. 5 times. That's the research. I'm going to listen to John on this. Maybe I'll dig a little deeper on this and see what I can do about improving my emotional intelligence. Step one, do an emotional intelligence self-assessment. You can do them online. They're great, you know, and, you know, if anybody's interested, you know, we can give them some resources there, George. But the thing is, step one, find out where you stand with a self-assessment on emotional intelligence skills. And I know which one will probably be the lowest, and we'll talk about that in a second. I will predict before you do the self-assessment, what is your lowest score out of the 15 skills, right? The skills are things like assertiveness, impulse control, empathy, self-regard, those types of things. It's so important for leaders. When you think about, George, when you think about the best leader you ever had in your life, who is it? And I don't need a name, but I mean, you know, and what is the quality? What quality did they have? Okay. Well, my bet is that the quality was around their emotional intelligence and how, and we'll come to that in a second. But, you know, when you think of a quality of the best leader you ever had, what is it? What was it, George?
For me, I think when you ask that question, the first thing that comes to mind is that I believe that they honestly cared.
100%.
Truly cared.
Yep, they truly cared about you. They truly cared about you. So this is so important, right? And this is, they had a high level of emotional intelligence. That's what was coming through. You felt their empathy for you. You felt that they really cared about your success. They wanted you to be successful. They gave you honest feedback in a caring way, right? George, you know, you're a great guy, and you know, we want to help you get greater, and you know, that type of thing. And they cared for you. But and you know, when you care for somebody, you don't not tell them the truth. You know, you have the courage to tell them the truth. And so in terms of emotional intelligence, if the people that are with us today, George, if they do that self-assessment, if they haven't done it already, by the way, if you want to have real courage, do a 360. Ask the people around you to evaluate your emotional intelligence. I don't recommend you go that far initially. I recommend you do it yourself, get a self-assessment. Self-assessments are very accurate, by the way. They're very accurate. They've been proven to be very accurate. But then you can also do a 360 where you ask the people who report to you, who call, you know, peers if you have them, boss if you have one, to do the same thing. And it's powerful. It is powerful. Emotional intelligence, the reason it's so powerful is if we can't understand and manage our own emotions, how can we lead people? How can we manage people? If we can't manage ourselves, right? So understanding ourselves, self-awareness is huge. The one that most people will score lowest on, most leaders, by the way, the higher you go in an organization, the lower your empathy gets. Mm. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, because you get more armor on. Every time you move up, you get more armor. Yeah. And so you got to take the armor off, right? Authentic leadership, George, take the armor off. You know, it's authenticity that builds trust. Authenticity builds trust. And trust is at the core of engagement, right? Of employee engagement. Yeah. These people have my back. So that's a huge action item for anybody with us today, is to work on that. Like, study it. Like, there's lots of great resources on this. You go on YouTube and listen to Daniel Goleman talk about the importance of emotional intelligence. It's the sine qua non of leadership. I think it's one of the secrets to employee engagement. If anybody with us today has had, you know, when they think of their best boss ever, they will be thinking of soft skills. Emotional intelligence is a soft skill. And there is a high correlation to low emotional intelligence and failure, and the reverse is true too. And I'll bet you any money, if we did a survey of the bosses in those companies where, you know, like 20% of the people are engaged, 36% here, there's not a lot of emotional intelligence. But the ones that are engaged, high level of emotional intelligence in their bosses and who they work for and throughout the organization. To be good, and but it starts with the person in the mirror. So that's number one, George. Number one, it's so important. And it's hard. It's harder to get better at emotional intelligence than better at mathematics, mm-hmm. or better at the numbers, or you know, the technical side. That's pretty easy. How do I get better at empathy? Which gets to the second thing. And that is, by the way, you don't ever want to work for anybody who is low empathy, right? Who's very low empathy. You don't want to work for people that are low empathy. You want to work for people that have a high level of empathy. And a high level of self-awareness. It goes hand in hand, George. High empathy, high self-awareness equals excellent social skills. What does that mean? Good with people. The best bosses are always good with people. Always. Business, you've heard me say, George, business is all about the people.
And you're coming to the second point, John.
The second point is around, and it hits on what you talked about, inspirational leadership in a way, and caring, the caring piece. When I survey CEOs, and I've done this hundreds of times, and we go around the table and say, you know, when you think of your best boss ever, just like what I asked you, when you think of the best boss ever, who is it and why? Who is it and why? People with tears in their eyes will say, it's so-and-so. And he or she believed in me more than I believed in myself. You know, I didn't think I was ready for that promotion. She did. She saw something in me that I didn't see yet, right? And isn't that wonderful, right? It is. And so that is what, that's what you look for. I mean, can you imagine how engaged that person was in that organization with having someone like that who really cared about them? Just like you said, the person cared about you. That's so critical. But how do you do that? How do you build that relationship? And really, this is the number two, is the connectedness model. So if you've got, and all of us have a lot of people in our lives, but if we just take a look at our team, let's say there's 10 people on the team. How connected do you as the CEO feel to each one of those 10 people? On a scale of 10, how do you feel? It won't all be eights. There'll be a five. I don't feel connected to that person. Well, how are you going to get connected to that person? Because if you don't have connectedness on that team, by the way, this is a model that you just, you waterfall it throughout the organization. You know, you do this with your direct reports, your team, and they do it with their team, and they do it with their team, and it just keeps on going through. Because that connectedness is where the engagement comes from. How do you get it? Well, by spending time with these people. You know, I have someone on, and you want to spend time with the eights and nines too, who you're very connected with, but you want to get everybody up there. You know, I got someone here, they're fairly new with us, or they've been with us for 20 years, and I just feel distant from them now, and I can't have that, because they'll feel it too. By the way, second part of the exercise, go and ask that person, how connected do you feel to me? Have someone else ask that question, by the way. Don't ask yourself, because you won't get the right answer. So, you know, have someone ask them, how connected do you feel to John, right? So that's so important. And here's how you get connected, George. By spending time with people. Everybody wants more time with the boss at every level of the organization. That's how you get engagement. Quality time together. And in that quality time, the boss is doing, back to your 80-20 rule, the boss is listening 80% of the time. A lot of bosses like to talk, you know, and just, you know, like show up and throw up, right? Well, don't show up and throw up. Listen 80% of the time. And ask smart questions. In the 20% of the time you're talking, ask smart questions, you know, and really care about the people. Get to know them. Get to know their families. Get to know them as a person. You know, that's one of the biggest things employees look for. Am I a number here or am I a person? Well, you're a person here. You're a person and we care about you. Back to your point about caring, it's absolutely critical. And so this is where the leaders, bosses, need to ramp up the empathy piece. This is emotional intelligence. Ramp up the empathy piece. Like, be curious. Be curious about the person. You know, and it's amazing what you'll find out when you ask questions and be curious about somebody. And then the relationship over time, and do this on a regular basis. And you know, George, I recommend a two-hour one-on-one with everybody that reports to you every month. And it doesn't mean that you don't see them every day. That's fine too. But once a month, we have our quality time together. And, you know, what's the most important thing we should talk about today? Well, I got to talk to you about my son. And I got a real problem. That's what winning looks like in terms of the relationship. And business is all about the relationship. And so that's number two, is developing that connectedness with everybody who reports to you and have them do the same. And, you know, and you can only you can only touch so many people. You've got other responsibilities, but you've got to get it right at that team and then get it right at the next team and the next team. That's how that engagement moves up. That's how the engagement moves up. The third thing, George, the third thing that I recommend is, and a lot of leaders don't do this, but and it gets back to passion in a way. It gets back to the leader's passion with the vision. And so you can't have a conversation about employee engagement without talking about vision and values. And let's call it the North Star. The North Star. Like, where are we going here? I need to know that, boss. Where are we going? What is our mission? What is our vision here? And it needs to be, to really get employee engagement, it needs to be a higher vision, a higher purpose vision, like significantly improving the success and lives of people. That's what we do here. So people got to connect with that. They have to see, but they're watching the leader. Does the leader really believe this? You know, what are the beliefs of this person? What do they stand for? Like, it's really important that employees know what the CEO of the company and all the leaders in between, because they aren't necessarily reporting to the CEO. They might be reporting to a vice president, director, manager deeper in the organization. I got to believe in the person at the top. What do they stand for? Because that's the main person I'm following here. And then it's got to be congruent with the person I'm reporting to in the organization. How important is that? Like, I know what the CEO believes in, you know, and I buy into their beliefs. I admire their beliefs and I share them. But wait a second, my boss doesn't seem to be in line with us. That's where the employee engagement drops like a rock, right? And there's story after story where, you know, people in the interview process, everything's beautiful, everything lines up, all the values are there. And then they join the company and the person they're reporting to said, don't worry about all that value stuff. We're here about hitting the numbers. We want to hit the numbers. That's all we care about here. Hit the numbers. Well, wait a second. What happened here? And George, I'm telling you, I mean, those disconnects are, they're all over the place. And so that is a critical part of moving the needle. And what a great goal. Like, let's move that. Like, why isn't it 50% engagement? Why isn't it the 80% that you thought it was? Why isn't it there? It has, you know, we have an obligation to get it there. And, you know, I think we can with these things that we've talked about in the last few minutes. If people take that seriously, and really focus on the people dimension, the softer skills in business are so important. Because at the end of the day, you know, as a leader, you got to have followers. Well, right now, you know, if you've got 1,000 people in your organization, and the chances are you got 360 followers, right? Well, is that the sign of a good CEO? No. They got to at least be at the 80% that you thought it would be at. And so I think there's really got to be some heavy lifting here, George, around, hey, as leaders, we got to get better. We've just got to get better at the great game of business and at the greater purpose of helping people have better lives. I mean, you spend a third of your life you spend pretty much in at work. What a shame that people are not engaged when they're there. And I know many companies where it's very high. Enlightened CEOs, enlightened leaders, leaders who work on themselves, continually get better. You know, lifelong learners never graduate, right? And, you know, there's a lot of leaders that are working on themselves. There aren't enough. More leaders in the world need to take this seriously, because I think it impacts so negatively the productivity, the economy, the happiness of people, going back to, you know, the mental health and so on. How much mental health is because, you know, people aren't engaged? I mean, a lot. So those are things that people can do, George. And I really appreciate this opportunity to get my intended message to CEOs, to executives, to leaders throughout all organizations on this particular area, because it's so important. I think it's so important to so many people.
John, you're the founder and CEO of CEO Global Network, which is a peer mentoring organization for CEO and company leaders. How might an individual evaluate, or what would they be looking for? What would they gain to come and talk to you or the other chairs at the CEO Global Network? How would a company leader decide if this is right for them?
Well, when somebody shows an interest in joining CEO Global Network, we have a process. And one of the processes is we ask them a number of questions to see whether or not this is the right place for them, to see whether or not they're serious about getting better. Right? And so there's three questions I ask every CEO who's considering joining CEO Global Network, and our leaders also ask these same questions. And these questions help a CEO decide, help a leader decide, am I going to get value from the time that I need to spend to be a member of CEO Global Network? And oh, by the way, the time that you need to spend is 4 hours a month with a group of peers. 4 hours a month with a group of peers who are going to tell you that joke's not funny. That idea is not a good one. Okay. How good is that? 4 hours, you're going to hear the truth. That's pretty good. And 2 hours with a mentor who's been a successful CEO, who is also going to tell you the truth. Not a good idea. So it's about a day a month, right? Which if you're working 20 days, and how many CEOs and business owners are only working 20 days, but let's assume you are, it's 5% of your time. So these three questions help you decide whether or not, am I going to put 5% of my time on this, or am I going to? And by the way, it's about, you know, speed of the leader is the speed of the pack. So, you know, it's all about the leader getting better. If you can get 10% better, aggregation of marginal gains, right? You should get 1% better at leadership every month. Well, just think about the accumulation of that, right? And so the three questions are: this is what helps the CEO decide. So, if people listening and watching, these questions: if I could have one decision back, if you could have one decision back that you made in the last year, which one is it? Think about that. Which one is it? The reason I ask that question is, if you'd been with a peer group and you had a mentor at that time, would you want it back, or would you have made a different decision? When you ask people, how much would it have been worth to you to make the right decision back then a year ago or within the last year, it's quite often it's millions of dollars, George. You know, usually hundreds of thousands anyway. Okay, that's a measurement of whether I should be doing this. The second question is, what are the two biggest strategic decisions you need to make in the next 6 to 9 months? What are the two biggest decisions that, now, you know, you're going to pace the floor at 3 o'clock in the morning on, you know, should I or shouldn't I? Should we move into that new market? Should we buy that company? Should I really bring in that new VP? That's really enlightening, both for me and for the person that's deciding whether or not this is worth 5% of their time, is the magnitude of getting that right. Because your chances of getting that decision right, if you've got, you know, a group of peers who are going to tell you the truth, peers, other CEOs running businesses that don't compete with yours, and a mentor checking your backswing, you know, that's pretty valuable. The third question is, what's the number one thing you feel you need to get better at as the CEO of your company to achieve your vision for it? What's the number one thing you need to get better at? And hundreds of different answers to that question. And the good news is, you know, when people come into CEO Global Network, it's X. 6 months from then, 9 months from then, it's Y. It's something else, right? But, you know, it is a lifelong journey. No such thing as a perfect leader. So there's always something that the CEO wants to get better at. And that's the great thing is, you know, we can get better, but we got to work at it. You know, everybody wants to be a success. Everybody wants to win. Not everybody is prepared to pay the price to win. Are you prepared to devote 5% of your time to become a better leader? Yeah, I am. Great. So, you know, it's those leaders that have engaged employees, no question about it, and highly successful companies, but they work at it. They work at it. And 5% is a minimum. I mean, you can do more, but I mean, why wouldn't you do 5? Does that answer your question, George?
That does, John. For those interested for more about CEO Global, the link is in the description. The website is ceoglobalnetwork.com. John, in wrapping up, one final question. If you could give advice to a CEO on one thing that they could do differently tomorrow with their direct reports, and perhaps, you know, other than telling them to listen to this podcast, which is filled with valuable advice, but if there's one other thing that you could say tomorrow, here's what you can do or say with your direct reports, what would that be, John?
Now, the one thing would be meeting with each direct report. Take action, meet with each direct report one-on-one, 2 hours every month, and you know, and listen, like listen carefully, listen between the lines, and really be there for them. You know, going back to your point about, you know, when you think of the best boss you ever had, they cared for me. You know, start taking action toward that, and you know, and when I say that, George, there'll be people saying, well, you know, I see that person every day, I don't have to do that. Put it in your calendar, 2 hours every month. And then the second thing, George, if I can have a second thing, do the emotional intelligence self-assessment. Be brave. Do the emotional intelligence self-assessment. And if you want to know where to do it, you can contact, you can get in touch with George and I, and be brave. Work on yourself. Work on your emotional intelligence. It'll pay huge dividends, not just at the office. It'll pay huge dividends at home, right? So those are the things I would do like right away.
My guest today is John Wilson, reminding you that every employee has the right to a good leader.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.